The Secret's Oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash in the shower, which gently cleanses and doesn't dry out your skin. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Second hour of the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Appreciate everybody down the line listening. Shout out to, speaking of people listening down the line, the Balcony Bengals. They're in Baton Rouge. Throwing me a nice little shout out on Twitter this morning. So I appreciate that from those guys and girls there as a great tailgate spot there. So if any of y'all are listening, next time I'm there for a game, if you throw an invite, maybe I show up. Who knows? I'll bring some beer too as well. I'm not one of those guys that like shows up to a tailgate and here, I'll drink all your beer and eat all your food. No. You show up prepared. And if nothing else, then if they've got plenty of it and they give you the, oh, Dan, hey, we've got plenty of it. Then you say, okay, well, now you got plenty more. So you want to be that guy. You don't want to be the guy that, yeah, hey, they ate all the, you know, the crawfish bites and, you know, they ate all of that. They drank all of that. Like, you don't be that guy. Don't ever, ever be that guy when it comes to a tailgate. But, yeah, shout out to the Balcony Bengals down in Baton Rouge. Still to come in this hour, in about 15 minutes, we are going to be talking with my good buddy Rick Ballew of 1010 XL 92.5 FM in Jacksonville. Great affiliate there in Jacksonville. Talk some Florida State Seminoles, as Rick is a huge Knoll, and being a Florida State Seminole, this year is a lot more fun than it's been in the past few years. So trying to enjoy that nonetheless. And then Peter Burns, our good buddy here in about 30 minutes from the SEC Network, you know, like me, a Cajun Texan. We both wear that that title pretty proudly. So I got Peter Burns coming up. We'll talk all of the SEC with him. And a move by a Power 5 commissioner that I understand what he's doing. He's definitely fighting for something. But also, too, what do you have to offer? I think that question needs to be answered. But I know we talked a lot of Auburn today, and I didn't tease this, which is on me. But this is with the caveat of Brian Harsin no longer being the head coach at Auburn, which it seems like very long odds and very steep slope for him to be able to traverse to be able to keep his job there at Auburn. And who knows, maybe even it reaches a certain point where Harsin just says, you know what, go ahead and have it, guys. I'm going to, you know, go be an OC somewhere, quarterback's coach somewhere. Who knows? Maybe he does both of those things, or, you know, his quarterback's coach in the NFL for a couple seasons and then finds his way back. Or, you know, maybe he gets out of coaching altogether. I don't know. But one thing I am pretty certain of is it seems like at one point in the 2022 season, it is going to be a new head coach being announced at Auburn, or at least that there is going to be the path to a new head coach being announced at Auburn. And I think once that happens, you need to do a couple of things. Number one, as we talked about with Justin Hokanson of Auburn Live, tell the boosters to butt out. Tell them, you know what I need from you? I need the money. And in terms of telling me how to run this athletic department, I don't need that. And in terms of telling the football coach what you need to see in this program, don't need that either. Like, let everybody just do their jobs. I mean, because it does sound like that there is no other school in the SEC that has as many cooks in the kitchen as Auburn does, because you had a situation with the AD where the AD is now no longer the AD. And that was part of it as well, is that look at the strong programs out there. What do they have? They have consistent structure there in the athletic administration at Alabama. Does anybody doubt that Greg Byrne is in charge at Alabama? No. Did anybody doubt that the previous AD was in charge when Mal Moore was there, or anybody else that's been in charge since Nick Saban's been on campus? No. And the same deal as well at Georgia with previously Greg McGarrity, who hired on Kirby Smart and signed off on a lot of what Kirby Smart said he needed for his program. And now with Josh Brooks, a man who had been part of that program, but now is working in concert with Kirby Smart and Jerry Moorhead. So what are we noticing here? Yeah, I'm sure at both of those schools, there's people who donate a lot of money and probably with handing over said checks say, hey, you know, I'd like to see this a little bit more. I'd like to see that a little bit more. Your comments can be your comments. That's fine. But in terms of running the everyday operation, it's time for Auburn and the administration there to hire an athletic director who, once they're hired on, says that ends today. And now everything is going to be under my purview. And I'm going to be the one that handles how this program goes leading forward and moving forward. And I think that that's something that's important, because let's take LSU, for example. I remember the day that Scott Woodward was hired that Matt Moscona went on air and said all of the questions about the athletic leadership in this program ended today, because it is now known who leads this athletic department. He showed as much when he was at Washington. He showed as much when he was at Texas A&M. Now he shows as much at his alma mater there at LSU. So I think that that's something that needs to be number one. Number two, if you're a program like Auburn, chances are there are some people who, when you do look at the time when it comes to hiring a new head coach, of saying, yeah, we're not in the market of, you know, hiring a position coach or hiring a coordinator. Are you in the market of winning the SEC West for the last few years? No. I mean, since 2017, that's not been the case. And before that, since 2013, that's not been the case. Are you in the market of making the college football playoff? The same deal. Are you in the market of being a consistent contender for either of those things? The answer is no across the board. So you probably can't be, you know, choosy in terms of, hey, you know what, you know, we're this type of job. No, you're a job that honestly right now needs to be able to get to that point. And the way that you get to that point is you break the mold a little bit. You break what has been kind of the norm for you in terms of hiring head coaches. And I think that you probably need to get over yourself a little bit. And I think a way that you do that is that you follow the path that Arkansas did, because Arkansas was in that path as well. Brett Bielema, the proven coach that won in the Big Ten. If he's won in the Big Ten and he's been physical there, and he's done all those things at Wisconsin, isn't he going to be able to do it here at Arkansas? And then after that, oh, wait a minute, we're too slow. We're too trudgy. We're too physical. We need to be able to have a more fast-paced offense and more explosiveness in the offense. So let's bring in a new coach. I'm trying to remember the coach's name right now, as that is something that is bad radio. Chad Morris. Jeez, good Lord. It's a Friday. Friday brain. I apologize. But Chad Morris. We're bringing in Chad Morris. That was a ferocious failure. And it all of a sudden led to you saying, all right, fine, let's go get the offensive line coach from Georgia. You know, things seem to be going well for Kirby's program. Let's go get him, a guy that knows this program very well. And he galvanized that program to nobody's business and hired some very good coaches and hired some very good coordinators in Kendall Briles, and also with Barry Odom. You know, apologies for forgetting Chad Morris's name for a second. You know, the hamster went off the wheel. But regardless, that's something he's been able to do. And he's been able to galvanize the fan base as well. I mean, I go back to last year, the speech that he had in the locker room to his team about, look at how this state looks at you now. Like, look at how this fan base feels about you. Like, I guarantee you, going into that game tomorrow night, you know, I talked about it with Tennessee, and it's now kind of the same thing with Arkansas as well, that they now believe that they're going to win games like that tomorrow night against Texas A&M. And then the following week, when Alabama comes to Fayetteville and plays against them, I guarantee you that place, if they're 4-0, is going to be one of the best atmospheres in all of college football for week 5, and maybe for this early part of the season, because that is going to be a raucous atmosphere, because I guarantee you there are going to be a lot of people wearing Arkansas colors going into that game saying, we have a really good shot at winning this game. I like our chances in winning this game. And I think that that's something that hasn't always been there. And it's something, too, that getting back to Auburn, they don't have right now. And a guy that I think can bring that to you is Del McGee, a guy that has ties to your school, a guy that has ties to your program, and a guy who, as well, has ties to an area that has meant so much to your program over the years. And that is Southwest Georgia of LaGrange, Albany, Columbus. That area is right there of good high school football and good players coming out of that area that Kirby Smart, pretty much with the help of Del McGee, has been able to pretty much line off from you and say, yeah, everybody from this area, now they're coming to Georgia. They're no longer going across state lines and going to Auburn. And that is a guy that I think can be able to help you do that with his relationships that he has in the Georgia high school circuit, because being able to recruit the state of Alabama is huge for you. There's no doubt about that, but you're contending with another absolute titan in that state. You'd be doing the same thing in the state of Georgia, but let's be honest here. When Auburn has been successful, they've been able to come in to the Peach State and get players to say yes to them, and they've been able to get players to make meaningful impacts for them, and that in turn leads to championships, either national or conference championships. And I think a guy like Del McGee is somebody that can do that for your program. And if you're an Auburn fan out there and you're saying, it doesn't have the experience, did Sam Pittman necessarily have the experience? And this is somebody who, as well, like I said, has an outstanding reputation with the high school coaching community in this state because he was at one time a high school coach in this state at Carver and Columbus, as well as coaching at Harris County and also at Greenville High School as well. I mean, he's worked at Georgia Southern. He has worked in this area and, you know, has been an analyst in your program as well and played for your program in the mid-90s as well. So somebody that knows what is needed at your program to be its best. So I think if you're an Auburn fan out there, and I understand that you're going to have a lot of names when indeed the time does come of, you know, it's probably going to be the press release. I can see it right now. Both Brian Harsin and Auburn have mutually decided to part ways. And when that time does come, and there is an interim coach in, and you're starting to look at who's going to be the next athletic director here, who's going to be the next head coach here. In terms of the second part of that, I think you could do a lot worse than Del McGee. And I think right now, if you're Auburn, that is the charge for you once indeed you do get the lead athletic administrator. Because, I mean, that's the other thing I've heard as well is, oh, hey, you know, we're going to do things a little less orthodox in terms of the athletic department structure. I think that is one of the dumbest things that you can do. Don't overthink this. Hire an athletic director. Let them do their jobs. And then when they do, when you do let them do their jobs, maybe go ahead and have that search firm say, yeah, the running backs coach at Georgia, who's been recruiting like nobody's business and putting together great groups there at Georgia. Because I'm telling you right now, with all of the losses that recently Kirby Smart has had to his coaching staff, it's been amazing that he's been able to continue to put together such a strong coaching staff. But soon enough, I mean, you get to a point where you lose the wrong guys and it starts to hurt that program. And I think if you're Auburn right there, you're looking for ways to hurt that program, because guess what? In terms of recruiting, they're doing that on the field. They're doing that to you. Maybe try to punch back a little bit and try to give yourself an opportunity to rejuvenate this program and to have people believe in this program again. And I think that guy would be Del McGee. All right, let's switch from that and talk a ACC program, Florida State Seminoles, because coming up next, they've been really good, but will that continue? Rick Ballew of 1010XL 92.5 FM down in Jacksonville hops on to talk some FSU Noles right here. This is the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck on a Friday.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Just sans Chuck for one more day. He'll be back on Monday, but right now let's go to the phone lines and talk with today's Truist reporter from 1010XL in Jacksonville, as well as 92.5 down there in Jacksonville. You find him on Twitter at Ballew1010XL. He is Rick Ballew. Rick, how we doing? Is it lunchtime for the cat? Is that what I'm hearing in the background?
Yeah, they're hungry. I don't know what's up. It's amazing what turns them on. I mean, you can roll up a, you know, scrunch up a piece of paper, whatever, throw it at them, and they think it's a lot of fun. So I don't know. I'm just trying to entertain here as we get ready for tonight. I think it'll be a pretty interesting night in college and high school football. And then, of course, this weekend is just sensational, both Saturday and Sunday. Some great ball games.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Let's talk about a program that you follow very closely, and that is, of course, Florida State. Do you expect to see Jordan Travis play against Boston College this weekend?
I do. Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, he's improved all week. I was told on Sunday that he was, you know, he didn't have the boot on any longer, didn't have the crutches. He had walked into a particular store in Tallahassee and And I was told about that. He did progress throughout the course of the week. He was limited, struggled a little bit on, I guess it was Wednesday, where early on, not a lot of mobility and was missing some throws. Then he settled down and got better as the practice went along. But yeah, I would expect that that is going to be the case. I mean, I don't know for sure, unless there's been a little bit of a setback. Even though Florida State has found ways to win games, I doubt that there's an overconfident feeling of, all right, you can just go with Tate Rodemaker and you know, leave Travis out for another week. Because, as you know, starting next Saturday, they have three games in a row against three teams that right now are ranked, I believe, in the top 16 in America. So you're really going to start to find out about this Florida State team.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about Tate Rodemaker. I mean, a really strong second half against Louisville. I mean, they don't win the game unless he plays the way that he does. What do you expect from him going forward? I mean, is this a situation that sets up for a two-quarterback system, or do you think once Jordan Travis is good to go, it's Jordan Travis's show until further notice?
Yeah, that's the plan. It is Jordan Travis. He's going to be the leader of this football team. I can't see them going with a couple of quarterbacks. But the problem is this, you know, and I've been saying it all off season, and I know you and I had a chance to sit down with Jordan back in Charlotte in late July. He does look bigger and stronger. He's put on 15 pounds worth of muscle, but it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And we all know that Jordan Travis is going to get injured. He did, obviously, last week, and Florida State got an unbelievable and totally unexpected performance out of Rodemaker. I mean, if you look at what he did when he came in the second quarter, he was 1 of 3 for minus 6 yards and a pick, and then something happened, and the switch was flipped, and he was absolutely outstanding in the second half. But I don't know if you can rely on that or expect that. The best case scenario for Florida State is you go with Travis. Hopefully they get a lead against BC where you could get him out of there, let's say, in the third quarter. Get Rodemaker some more work because, you know, later on this year, you just wonder when it's going to happen. You know that Jordan Travis is going to get hurt again, and you know that he's going to leave the football field. That has just been his, you know, situation for the last 4+ years, even going back to Louisville. And, you know, it's unfortunate because he's such a good young kid, but he just can't stay healthy.
Talking with Rick Ballew, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM down in Jacksonville. At Ballew, 1010 XL is how you find him on Twitter, today's truest reporter. And you touched on it a little bit at the beginning of our conversation, Rick. I mean, this team has won a couple of really close games this year. You go to New Orleans, pretty much a home game for LSU, and you're able to pull that one out. And then last weekend, too, a good crowd at Louisville on that Friday night, and you're able to win that game. So these are games that I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, Rick. In the past, they had lost. What's different this year? Why are they winning these games?
Well, I think the kids are playing hard. I mean, that's the one thing that I'll give Mike Norvell a lot of credit for. This football team is playing hard for him. He still has made a lot of mistakes as far as coaching on the field. I mean, that LSU situation to this day, I still can't get over. I mean, that game is in the bag. That game is won. And then you fumble and you allow LSU to go 99 yards in 11 plays, taking just over a minute. And you get a great block. You go to last week's game. The comeback was phenomenal against Louisville. But again, you're a half yard away from scoring. And right after what they did on goal line the week prior to that at LSU, they bring over Wyatt Rector and try to run him as a tight end taking a snap under center. Then on second and goal, they run this reverse, which gets stoned. So then you have to end up passing it to the 6'7" Johnny Wilson, who makes that play over Jarvis Brownlee, who, of course, was a Florida State Seminole a year ago, to get the game-winning reception on what should have been just run the football straight at them, you know, three straight times. So it still is a little bit mysterious to try to figure out exactly what this team does in-game. But, yeah, you're right. You can see where it is switched. And the last 4, 5, 6 years, those absolutely would have been losses. Now, for one reason or another this year, they end up being wins. And I think the most important part of all this is it really feels like, you know, Mike Norvell has missed in recruiting at least to this point, but he's really hit it out of the park as far as the transfer portal. And it appears that this team right now, he's got a good collection of kids who want to play and play hard. And the result is that Florida State finds ways to win games.
A couple more minutes with Rick Ballew again, 1010XL down in Jacksonville. And you touched on it, and I want to close out on this one with you, Rick, is after this weekend, you enter a really tough stretch of three games against Wake Forest, Clemson, and NC State. Can this team take two out of those three?
You know, it's right now I would say I think there's a chance. Let's see what happens here. You know, tomorrow night, Florida State just announced that they have a sellout at 8 o'clock here against Boston College. We know that BC is always a very physical team, but they're down three offensive linemen, and they're actually 130th out of 131 teams when it comes to rushing, which is just mind-boggling considering that has been a strength for BC. Florida State has had a ton of injuries, two starters already off the offensive line. The pass rusher they got out of Burst, the kid they got out of Albany, who's been about as good as anyone could expect, was out last week. The defensive line, they've been down some key players as well there. So I think it's a little bit too premature right now to say, yeah, they can win two out of three until we know who is able to go and who is not able to go. That's going to be the biggest question mark for Florida State. Right now they could be down as many as six starters. If you look at those offensive linemen and everything that's going on the defense for this game tomorrow night. So if they get out of there fairly healthy, then, yeah, you should be able to beat Wake Forest in Tallahassee. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. It's Wake Forest, for crying out loud. And I have a lot of respect for Sam Hartman. Again, another young man we had a chance to meet. But I watched that game in its entirety last week against Liberty. Liberty almost knocked off Wake Forest. And I know you can always make the point that they were looking ahead. I still think NC State may be the best team this year in the ACC. Devin Leary struggled early on. Clemson's a better football team, and that's going to be a tough test because you look at all those future NFL players on defense, and will FSU be able to run the ball there? Yeah. Two out of three right now, it may be a stretch, but right. I think it comes down to how healthy they are.
Rick, appreciate the time, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, as always.
I appreciate it. Let's go to the SEC next. Peter Burns, SEC Network.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I want to thank Rick Ballew, 1010XL, 92.5 FM down there in Jacksonville, talking some Florida State Seminoles. We've talked Aggies. We've talked Auburn. We talked Noles. Now we're going to talk all of the SEC. He is Peter Burns, SEC Network studio anchor. You hear him also on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM. You find him on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Peter, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's one of those days where it's like 20 degrees cool already. Mm-hmm. So you finally get that feeling that fall's here. So Honestly, I want to start drinking now. It feels like a tailgate Friday that starts at noon. So I'm in. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about bourbon since about 9 a.m. this morning. Some people would say that's an issue. I think that it's really just a mindset that I'm ready to get into, and that just says that the weekend is here. So, I mean, I don't think you're going to disagree with me on that, are you?
It just means more. We'll put it that way. But, yeah, man, you know, we've got some good intriguing matchups. You know, the first time we've seen game day go to Knoxville since – what, I guess 2016, and what, that was the last time in almost two decades that Tennessee actually won that game. They wore those smoky grays, and there's a lot of optimism going on right now. I talked to Tony Vitello, the head coach for Tennessee baseball, you know, and he's never short of any opinion, and he said his number one job this weekend was not get arrested. So I think that tells you the temperature that's popping in Knoxville right now, that they're excited about this team.
Yeah, never a dull moment, that is for sure, with him and that Tennessee baseball program. Let's start off first with a program that I know is near and dear to your heart. That's LSU, and we get the announcement yesterday, Kayshawn Boutte expecting the birth of his first child, excused absence away from the team. So I think the question overall throughout the first few games on the field and just the offseason, everything kind of feeding into it, what do you think his relationship is with Brian Kelly and this LSU program at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. You know, again, I don't think it's an issue. I mean, again, I think he's an NFL caliber wide receiver, and if all of a sudden he just wanted to shut it down, he'd be like, deuces, I'm completely out. And, you know, I think that's part of the situation with him is, you know, I go back and look at, you know, obviously he was disappointed what happened in the Florida State game, but they went back to him and he had a good game against Southern. So, you know, again, they're trying to figure out ways to get, you know, these guys involved offensively. And in a weird way, this actually helps them because they got to do a better job of getting Jack Besh involved. Mm-hmm. He was a stud tight end who was great as a freshman. And Brian Kelly even talked about it. Like, he pulled no punches. He's like, we're not getting Jack enough touches. And, you know, for LSU to be better than a 7-5 team this year, they have to have that offense clicking. And frankly, you know, even though they looked better against Mississippi State, that was, I think, more so Mississippi State shooting themselves in the foot, Dan, than it was LSU really just crushing them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of the things, I mean, when we get to this point of the week, we like to look forward, but I think you have to look back to last week and what that meant. How huge was that for Brian Kelly and the team, and what do you think it's going to mean for the 2022 LSU team going forward?
Yeah, I mean, this was a buy-in win, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of that fan base that's still, hey, man, they loved Ogeron and they loved the kookiness of Les Miles, but you know, they look at anybody that comes down to Louisiana as an interloper, an outsider, right? A carpetbagger. And so, you know, had he lost to the Mississippi State team, like, it would have been just brutal for him in that early relationship with him and Tiger fans. Now, I will say this, there are certain programs, right? Like LSU, no matter what what team they're playing in Mississippi State, even if Mississippi State has the number one team in the country, LSU fans feel like they always should beat Mississippi State. Florida fans right now feel like over the last two decades they should always beat Tennessee. So, you know, there's certain, you know, games you can't, you know, kind of jump up and let them bite you, and that was a monster win for Brian Kelly, just for buy-in for a bunch of people.
Peter Burns, again, SEC Network, and also to SiriusXM at Peter Burns, ESPN is how you find him on Twitter. Peter, let's just go ahead and caveat it this way. There is zero chance that Alabama loses this weekend, but against Vanderbilt, what do you think we need to see from the Crimson Tide?
I mean, I think it's just a development of two things for me, Dan. It's running the ball at when they want to, right, on demand. You know, we've gotten so, like, punch drunk on how good the passing game has been over the last couple of years. I mean, Alabama football traditionally is always going to still be one on great defense and running the ball. And the second part about that is what wide receiver steps up. You know, we thought maybe it might be Jermaine Burton when he transferred over from Georgia. We thought it might be Trayshawn Holden. But really it's just been Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back. And that's almost more of a safety valve. It's like, hey, what wide receiver – is going to play like Cedric Tillman at Tennessee or Dane King at Kentucky right now? Like, you got to find a threat that makes opponents like, oh, man, we're worried about this guy. And there really isn't that guy that has stepped up quite yet for the Tide.
And, I mean, along with that, I mean, I think we still believe that it's pretty much proven that Alabama is still the team to beat in the SEC West. But
Who do you think is their biggest threat? I mean, and could that come as early as next weekend with the game against Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas, I got a little, not worries, but, you know, I think Arkansas beat a okay Cincinnati team. You know, we gave them a lot of a love for that. And then, of course, they crushed the South Carolina team that we understand that's not playing extremely well. But they struggled against Missouri State. So, you know, I actually think Texas A&M, in a weird way, and, you know, maybe I'm tailgating too hard already, Dan, but I think A&M actually wins that game up in Dallas. I think there's some secondary issues that I think Alabama and A&M and other teams are going to be able to take advantage of, especially when Catalan got hurt for the Hogs. But, I mean, again, there's two teams that are head and shoulders above everybody. It's Georgia and it's Alabama. And, frankly, I think even Alabama right now is a little bit farther behind Georgia than I would have had expected through the quarter of a season.
Yeah, I mean, and you're not the only one that thinks that about Arkansas's secondary as well. I mean, that's the, you know, more times that I've heard that this week. You talked about Tennessee and, you know, what they're expecting this weekend against Florida. I mean, what do you expect from this Tennessee team on Saturday? And do you think that it's going to be a story of what Tennessee didn't do and that's why they lost? Or do you think that Florida can rise up and possibly go in there and steal a game?
Yeah, this is so fascinating on so many different levels, because actually what I'm watching is not necessarily Tennessee's offense. I think they take a small step back because, you know, ultimately I don't know if Cedric Tillman plays this week. I doubt if he does, and that's their stud wide receiver. So it's going to be all Brew McCoy trying to step up. But it's actually Tennessee's defense. You know, I keep saying that this year's Tennessee team reminds me a lot of last year's Ole Miss team, where they're going to score a bunch of points, but we're sleeping on how good the defense is. So, you know, I want to see right now for Tim Banks and this defense, like, hey, have you taken that next step defensively? And I think for Anthony Richardson, man, you got to go to him and you got to ask him, what do you feel comfortable running? And I feel like, you know, when he's not thinking and he's just reacting like at Utah, he's awesome. But I feel like the last 2 weeks, he's like a golfer going through swing changes right now, and you can almost see his mind racing in the pocket. Like, dude, just tell him to give him the ball and be like, hey, this is – have fun out there. Go ball. And I think that's when he plays loose, and I think that's the only chance the Florida Gators have actually winning that ball game.
A couple of more minutes with Peter Burns again, SEC Network, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM. Find him on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. And you mentioned Georgia there and Tennessee. I mean, you know, it's kind of, I think, a question of really, I would believe, three teams that you talk about having a chance to win that SEC East. And Georgia has a leg up on both of the others. But with that offense and the defense, the way that they're playing, do you think that it's Tennessee that's the greatest threat? Or do you think about Kentucky?
I mean, it's Tennessee, because somebody's going to have to keep pace with this Georgia offense. And imagine us saying that last year. But, Dan, I don't think it's close. Right. I mean, I said it on the show a couple of days ago, and I know Georgia fans got upset when I said it, but this Georgia team is going undefeated this year. And I don't think anybody's going to be close. I think when we go down and look at the Georgia 2022 football team, we'll talk about it the same way we talked about 2019 LSU as being historic. Same thing we talked about with 2020. And ultimately, although the defense doesn't have those quote, you know, playmakers, you know, big time names, I think they're as good. And the flip side of it, the offense is exponentially better. So I not only do I see Georgia running the whole table, I don't expect anybody to get within double digits of the Georgia Bulldogs this season. I'm that bullish. And then even crazier when you start looking at how easy their schedule is next year, I don't think they play a team really with a heartbeat that can challenge them until probably mid-October next year. So enjoy this run, Georgia, because this is about as good as it's ever going to get.
Yeah, one final one. I mean, along those same lines, we've been hearing all week in terms of people saying this team might be better than last year. Are you in that same category with this Georgia team?
Well, offensively, there's no doubt. And again, so let's say if they were on the scale of 1 to 100 on defense, they were a 98 last year. I think they're probably like a 94. But offensively, let's say they're like about a 70. You know, this year they're probably at like 94 as well. I mean, it's a better collection and it's complementary. And I think that underscores what Todd Monken can do when he had a full season of knowing, okay, Stetson's my starter. This is what he does well. This is all of the ingredients we can have. And now he's a hell of a chef. And I mean, And it's not just Brock Bowers that's open. You go back and watch the film, there's three different guys that are open at any given time right now. So it's an absolute 800-pound gorilla that's just going to crush people all season long.
Yeah, that's scheme, and that's really good players who are able to execute it to a T. There's no doubt about it. Peter Burns, we love the opinions as always, sir, and like you, sometimes bunker play is a little bit of an issue. By the way, too, speaking of golf, I know you're a big golf guy. Is there going to be any chance to maybe make a Sunday out of Quail Hollow for the President's Cup?
I did it yesterday, and while I loved it, it was great. The weather is awesome. It's a great event. There's nothing more overrated than attending a golf event, unless it's the Masters, because the course is the most incredible thing ever. But if you like golf, you don't actually go to the golf tournament because you can't see any golf.
Right.
So there's my hottest of hot takes, is that if you actually love golf, you'd rather sit around and watch it so you can see all the shots, as opposed to seeing, like, I mean, I went out there yesterday, Dan, for like 4 hours, and I think I saw three golf shots the whole day. So
yeah.
I'll sit at home and watch it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong about that at all. As I'll expand here on that in just a second. But Peter, appreciate the time as always, buddy. Great stuff. Like I said, you never lack an opinion, and you're just a great guy. So it's always great to be able to catch up with you, buddy.
And I'm about to drink a great amount of alcohol. So,
God bless you.
Happy Friday, everybody.
God bless you, man. Round of applause for Peter Burns. Round of applause. Peter, you're the man, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you, bud.
See you, man. Yeah, and he's not wrong, too, about golf. I mean, you know, had a chance to go to the Masters once and do the practice round thing, and he's right. I mean, it's very much the course is the star there, along with, oh, yeah, hey, there's a golf tournament being played. But let's just say also, too, because I'm sure Peter has probably done this as well from a coverage perspective, that more often than not, if you quote-unquote cover a golf tournament – maybe if you're out there for multiple days, you'll walk the course one day, but you also, on that Sunday, if you're a reporter, you're sitting inside the media tent watching on the monitors in there and, you know, keeping up with the NBC coverage, the Golf Channel coverage, the CBS coverage, whatever it might be, because you're going to miss stuff. I mean, you know, it gets to a point where the gallery gets so large, you can't see. And, you know, you can't really, you know, be able to keep up with, all right, you know, this guy's on six, this guy's on four, you know, who's you know, hitting a big shot. You hear a huge roar. Where'd that huge roar come from? All those different things. So he's not wrong about that. I mean, you go out there, you do it, you drink a few cocktails, you know, have a good time. Golf tournaments are great. I mean, you know, you love being able to do that. But then, you know, you've done it for one day, then you say for the rest of the week, okay, let's stay at the house. Let's watch the end of it now, and, you know, let's see Dan. You know, let's listen to Dan Hicks. Let's listen to, you know, Jim Nantz and everybody else be able to do the coverage of it, and we'll take it from there. But no, Peter's the man. Always great to catch up with them, and we'll do that again here very soon. All right, coming up next, this move might have been pretty savvy, but now how are you going to respond? I'll explain what I mean as we close out the Friday edition of the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck, and yes, I remember Chad Morris's name now, right here on the Chuck Oliver Show, part of Southern Sports Today.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Now they beat Alabama and they put to bed those seven straight losses in which Georgia was a top 10 team in every one of those losses. And all of a sudden, now they have this catapult of confidence because they beat the one program that they needed to beat.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports. He's going to be calling a pretty good one tomorrow as well with Gus Johnson. Huge Gus Johnson fan. I see David Holloway behind the glass smiling because the guys and girls out there never want to leave anybody unincluded. Anybody out there a follower of Joey Molinaro? Yeah, see, easy enough for me to say. I mean, I couldn't remember Chad Morris's name, and then Joey, I butchered your name right there. So Friday brain is definitely in effect. Who knows? Maybe this Dunkin' coffee that I have right here, I'm already doing what Peter Burns said he's going to be doing. So, you know, who knows? It's Friday. But anyway, so Joey Molinaro did an impersonation of Gus Johnson that was just outstanding. And it was, you know, doing the whole, like, interview before the game of Nick Saban,
Colin Cowherd, you know, all of the impersonations he has, and he was doing his Gus Johnson. And, you know, one of the things, too, he talked about was my man, Joel Klatt. So Joel, part of that group. But tomorrow they get Maryland at Michigan for a noon kick from Ann Arbor. That one going to be the big noon Saturday on Fox. So be paying attention to that one. But what he said there about Georgia, I mean, I think that's very true. Remember, I talked about it numerous times. If you'll go back, is I said that if Georgia finally is able to pass the Alabama test, that'll be like the Red Sox when they were finally able to solve the Yankees puzzle. And when they were finally able to beat the Yankees in 2004, I think for them, it was such a weight lifted off their shoulders that they were like, this is no longer a like Herculean task for us to try to tackle and try to move on from. So when they went and played the Cardinals in the World Series, they were like, we've already played the toughest series of the postseason. This now is very much within our reach, and we've completely, you know, taken down something that has been an absolute thorn in our side for the longest time, and they're no longer a threat to us. We don't view them as such anymore. And then the other part of it as well is, you know, another baseball example is a lot of us in this area are Braves fans, right? I don't think the Braves are afraid of the Dodgers anymore. I think after what they did last year in the NLCS, the Braves now look at them on the other side in the other dugout and say, yeah, we know we're just as good as you. As a matter of fact, we might even think we're better than you. And I think that that is. I mean, you know, with what Joel Klatt just said right there, you heard what Peter Burns had to say. I mean, this is a program that believes in themselves and believes a lot right now. And I don't think there's any doubt about the way that this team is going to be for the rest of this season. I mean, you know, I gave you the stat earlier about Kirby Smart and SEC, or excuse me, in road games being 23-4. And that four of those losses were to SEC West teams, and they were by 22 points. You're not going to be seeing anytime soon Georgia losing by that much. If Georgia loses a game anytime soon here in the next few years, it's going to be a close game. And it's going to be one that that team was able to pull off and being able to put together a good performance. But that's just how good Georgia is. So definitely a believer in this 2022 team. I want to close off by talking about this story that came out yesterday. And I'm reading from Kyle Bonagura's story from ESPN, where the headline is, in letter, Pac-12's George Kliavkov cites, quote, significant financial, mental health concerns on UCLA move to the Big Ten. So recently he sent a letter to the University of California Board of Regents. So that's the University of California university system out there. So, of course, you know, UC Davis, UCLA, UC Berkeley, you know, any university out there that has UC. I mean, pretty much any, you know, public university out there is part of this system. And it was ahead of a closed-door session Thursday to discuss UCLA's proposed move to the Big Ten. And Kliavkov detailed, quote, significant concerns that he had of the move, including its effect on student-athlete mental health, increased travel and operational costs, and negative impacts both to Cal's revenue and also to the UC system's climate goals. And in this, he had talked about, you know, what their travel budget is at the moment. He said that, you know, UCLA currently spends $8.1 million per year for travel to compete in the Pac-12 conference. That's going to incur an 100% increase if team travel costs. If it flies commercial in the Big Ten, that's $8.1 million per year. If it flies charter, then that's 160% of an increase. And also 200% increase if charters if it charters every flight, that would be $23 million per year. Now, goes on to say that a huge part of this move is financial gains. And he also lays out that, hey, you know, UCLA financial gains, if you join the Big Ten, it's going to end up going to airline and charter companies, administrators, coaches, salaries, and others who are going to be receiving that other than providing additional resources for your student athletes. So he's saying, yeah, you might, you know, level off that $100 million debt that you have at the moment, but when it's all said and done, you're still going to be kind of trying to play catch up. So then my question to George Kliavkov is, then what do you have for them? Then how do you get them to be able to not have to face these financial hurdles that they're trying to face right now and not have to, you know, be in position where they feel like, you know what, yes, this is the best move for us? Because, yes, it is about money. I don't think anybody at this point disputes that it's about money. But I think that that probably, if you're UCLA, then come back and say, okay, what do you have for us then? then how are you going to benefit us by staying? Because the way that things are currently constructed at this moment, it's not beneficiary for us to stay in the Pac-12. I'm sorry, it's not. And maybe we should have come to you guys sooner rather than later and brought this up to you, but it's just not in our best interest. So how can you help us out? I think that's the response that UCLA needs to have is, okay, fine, we'll listen to you. What does it do for us? And if it's not a satisfactory answer, I think you go back to them, and I think you go back to the UC system and say, yep, you had your chance. We're moving on. There was a reason why we wanted to move on, and we're completely moving on now. All right, I want to thank everybody that made these last 3 days possible here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Monday, I'll be back on the other side of the glass in my typical spot as the executive producer of the show. I want to thank David Holloway. I want to thank today's guests, Joey Ikes, Justin Hokanson, Rick Ballew, and, of course, Peter Burns, who might already be well into his Friday buzz right now. So good for you, Peter. Appreciate the time from all of them. Enjoy the college football weekend. We will enjoy it as well. We'll talk to you Monday right here. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.